on your knees till the light shone through. How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? You no burden. Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to your Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that he would answer you and would keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt that the day's worth the living? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew since you knew that he cares for you?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Combs. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. The book of Proverbs, chapter 16. I shall read one verse to launch my message from this evening. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 7. When a man's ways please the Lord. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, don't you notice that statement? When a man's ways please the Lord. Are your ways pleasing to God? Can God look down at you and say, man, I'm pleased with the way that Christian's living? The Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, God maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, I don't like confrontation. Now, if I have to, I'll deal with it. I won't run from it. But I don't like it. It keeps me awake at night. And I don't like to lay in bed awake at night. I don't like confrontation. I sure like this verse. The way to avoid constant confrontation when everybody seems to be upset with you is to check your ways. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Why? It bothers me that some Christians can't get along with other Christians. Isn't that something? Always fighting, bickering, hard feelings, getting their feelings hurt. But the Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, God maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And if he can do that, how much easier is it for our fellow Christians to be at peace with us? I want to talk to you tonight about that verse and give you five ways we know for sure we can please God. If we knew some things that, and by the way, there's more than five in the Scripture, but It's Wednesday night, and I want you to get out at a decent hour. Five ways that we know that pleases God. Be a good start on living and practicing in such a way that God is pleased with our ways and can start working on those that's been keeping us up at night. Father, help me tonight as I bring this message. I want to be a blessing to these dear people. I love them. And God, I would love for them to have God's smile upon their life. I desire for them, for you, our Heavenly Father, to look down upon our church and our family here and say, their ways please me. And give me liberty and power to preach tonight. And may I say some things that are needed in our hearts so that truly we might please you with our life. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I must say to you that I have a burning desire in my heart and soul to please God. I want to please Him and my Savior. If you've known anything about my ministry, during my ministry of 45 years, I have not lived and practiced my ministry to take advantage of people. I have not practiced manipulation or other ways of getting people to do what I want. I've tried to live in such a way and serve in such a way to exalt Christ and to please Him. And if you liked it, you liked it. If you didn't like it, you didn't like it. I'm going to please Him. Since that night, I knelt at an altar and yielded my life to God's will for my life. I've wanted with all my heart and soul to please Him. And if we have been raised properly by our parents, and our heart is right with God, I believe children will want to please their parents. I know I did as a child. I hungered to hear my daddy or my mama tell me, "Sure did a good job. Son, I'm proud of you." And I can go further. When I worked in the secular world before I entered the ministry, as an employee, I worked hard to please the one in authority over me. My daddy taught me that's what we're supposed to do. If we're ever going to get ahead, we're not going to get ahead fighting the boss. We're not going to get ahead fighting the man that hired us so we can do our own thing. We're hired to do a job, and we ought to do that job in such a way to please the one in authority over us. Knowing how important this has been in my life, I've made a special effort to try to say to my grandchildren and my children, when they did things right, that I was so pleased with them. By the way, I think one of the things that's missing in ministry today, we are quick to rebuke, but we're slow to praise when something's done right. We're never going to lead anybody that by rebuking them only. We'll lead them when we'll deal with the wrong, but we'll also praise and encourage them for the right. I believe my children grew up wanting to please Daddy. I believe today when they get a birthday card or a note, and I tell them I love them and I'm so proud of them, that they're pleased to hear that. But here in our text for tonight, the Scripture magnifies the fact that God's children should have that burning desire to please Him. Do you? When you come to church, are you just thinking about what you want or what He wants? What you do in ministry, is it just about what you want to do or what He wants? I want to please Him. I believe He's got a plan for our life. Sometimes His plan conflicts with our plan. And I want to please Him. I do not and have not for all these years had as my motivation as pastor to build the largest church or receive the largest salary. I know some preachers, that is their motivation. It's never been mine. But with all my heart, I want to live and act and serve in such a way to please the one who bought me and forgave me and called me. Now, if in the process I'm blessed financially, that's great. If in the process the church grows and has some measure of success, that's great. And I'm going to do everything I can because I don't believe God is pleased with empty pews and empty houses. But with all my heart, I want to do what I do to please Him and honor Him. Let me say to you tonight, there are great blessings and benefits from pleasing God. That's what our verse tells us tonight. And it says, not everybody is going to get those blessings and benefits. But when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now notice, a man's ways. When a man's ways. Well, bless God, I'm going to live it like I want to live it. You're a fool. You didn't create you. And your ultimate purpose here is not to please you, but to please the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Now notice that statement, a man's ways. When a man's way, it simply means when his actions, his conduct, his business dealings. Don't separate your business dealings from your Christian ways. If your business dealings cause you to have to cheat to be success, then you need to check up on your business dealings because they're not pleasing God. When a man's ways, his actions, his conduct, his business dealings, his conversation, his manner of treatment of others. I know people who use others to get what they want. They manipulate and intimidate others to get what they want. It's a man's ways. That's not pleasing to God. That's not leadership. Isn't it interesting that God lets us know that He's keeping a record of every man's ways? Now we're down here going about our business and God's up there, but He's everywhere and He sees everything and He says, when a man's ways please the Lord. So evidently God's looking at our ways. And God's keeping a record of our ways. That would be good for us to know that, because you can't get behind a closed door and shut out God. You can't go to another city and hide from God. You can't get in the dark and hide from God. You know, we're not real smart in a lot of things. I was listening to ABC News tonight, and it said there is an unbelievable increase in births to unwed mothers in America, and we don't understand what's causing it. I said, stupid, sex, lust, sin, depravity, rejection of the Word of God and a moral standard, doing what we want. But God said, when a man's ways please the Lord. Look at the promise God makes to those whose ways please the Lord. He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That He there is talking about the Lord. He who has all hearts in His hands and has access to men's spirits He has power over them. When our ways please the Lord, He maketh even His enemies to be at peace with Him. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be your best buddy. I've got some people that are not good friends. But we're not enemies either. We can be kind and cordial and enjoy relationship without being best buddies. God can do that for us. God can do that for us. God is the guardian and defense of all that fear and love Him. And it's astonishing to see how wondrously God works in our behalf when our ways please Him. I say again, I hate confrontation. It keeps me awake at night. I like to go to bed with a heart at peace with God and my fellow man. I like to have enough peace stirring in my soul so that I can keep my wife awake at night snoring. But that doesn't happen when you're not at peace with your fellow man. And it's going to take more than your ability to live at peace with people around you. It's going to take divine intervention. But God said, when our ways please Him, even our enemies are at peace with us. Now, this promise is a treasure to me. I love this verse. I love this promise. I value it highly. Every child of God should want to please God and live in peace with those around you. Now, I'm to my message. I want to give you five Bible ways that we can be sure we please God. Number one, faithful and consistent prayers from God's children please God. One of the three things that we do less of: prayer, soul winning, Bible reading. We'll put them on the back burner. We'll do everything else. We'll let television, we'll let unsaved friends distract us from doing the three things that ought to be priority things in our life. Prayer. Prayer. Do you know there's over 500 references to prayer in Scripture? It's kind of important to God. But faithful and consistent prayer from God's children please Him. Let me read you this from 1 Kings 3, verse 5 through 10. Solomon has just been crowned king over Israel. And in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him his great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech, or the prayer, pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Here this king prayed. He humbled himself before Almighty God. Some of us, we're not kings. We're just nobody scratched out of dirt and redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We sure have a hard time humbling ourselves in the sight of God, don't we? But here's the king over Israel. And he humbles himself. He said, God, he didn't say, God, I'm king and here's what I'm expecting. He said, God, I'm like a little child. I don't even know how to go out and come in. I need your help. I've got to judge before all of these people. I've got to make decisions pertaining to their life and their ways. Give me an understanding heart. And you know that prayer pleased God. God even put it down in Scripture that it pleased God. Do you have a prayer life? Do you approach Him humbly? Do you ask or demand? Every now and then I'll hear some preacher on the radio or television, demand, I demand. You don't demand God to do anything. You humbly approach Him. You beseech Him. You ask Him. He is God. We're a hell-deserving sinners, been rescued by His grace and mercy. We approach Him in humility. We approach Him in our helplessness. We approach Him knowing that without Him, we're nothing. Solomon asked God for an understanding heart as he served as king over God's people. And Solomon's prayer pleased God. I wonder, one of these days we're all going to stand before Him. The book's going to be open. He's going to read the record of our life. I wonder anywhere in the record of your life or mine that we've ever prayed a prayer that God said, man, that pleased me. Solomon did. Solomon did. I would like to get to the place in my prayer life that it's not all asking, but it's praising. And worship and thanksgiving, including asking. And I pray, I learn to be able to pray in an intercessory manner for others, not just for myself. Me and my four and no more. God forbid. Scripture is full of references to prayer. Over 500 different references in Scripture. I know of nothing that pleases God more than for His children to come in prayer and thanksgiving to Him. Listen to some of the Scriptures. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Luke 18:1. You know why we have teachers and workers that are always quitting? Because they're fainting because they're not praying. Pray and not faint, the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, the Scripture says. I love Dr. Coral's illustration of that. He said, get God on the phone early in the morning when you wake up and keep Him on the phone all day and just off and on all day long. Talk to Him. When you go to bed at night, say, Lord, it's been a good day. I've enjoyed time with you. See you in the morning. Good night. Amen. Pray without ceasing. Luke 21:36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know why prayer is so important? Because my prayer to God is making known to God that I need Him. And God wants to be needed. You know why some of you have no prayer life? Because you're so filled up with yourself, you don't think you need God. So you don't pray. Well, a faithful, consistent prayer from God's children pleases God. And secondly, I want you to know our faith in God and His worth pleases Him. God's not pleased when preachers get up and cast doubt on His Word. God's not pleased when preachers say, well, God really didn't mean this. Let me suggest something to you. God is a superb linguist. He doesn't have problem with the English language or any language. He is able to say what He means in simple language so we can understand it. And I submit to you, He did. And God is pleased when we just believe Him. We live by faith. God is so displeased that He lets us know that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. No matter what you do, if you do it in question marks and doubt about the Word of God and the promises of God, God is not going to be pleased. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But oh my soul, go through the book and look at all of those that have just believed God and obeyed Him. And how God blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. God promoted. Hey, what kind of a God do you think He is? You think God's going to promote you in your Christian life, your Christian service, or the business world when you read His Word and say, I don't believe that? You won't promote. Promotion comes from the Lord. I want His blessing. I want Him to lift me up. I want Him to honor my life. It's not going to happen if I don't believe Him. Let me hurry on. I spent too much time. Well, I didn't spend too much time. I spent more than my allotted time on prayer. Thirdly, the honest preaching of God's Word to get people saved pleases God. You know, we ought to be pleased with what pleases Him. Some of you look bored to death during preaching service. You don't give a holy grunt. In fact, the amen at the end of the service is what wakes you up. It's kind of like an alarm clock. You know, it'd be good to like preaching. Well, I just like this preacher. Then you stinking carnal Christian. It's what Paul said you were. I like preaching. I like loud preaching. I like soft preaching. I like hard preaching. I like serious preaching. I like funny preaching. I like preaching as long as it's Bible preaching. Bible preaching. And I want to support the preacher. One of the reasons is a selfish reason. Because God is pleased with honest preaching. And I want to support what pleases God. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Now, God didn't say preaching's a bunch of foolishness to me. It says to the wise, preaching is foolish. But it's by the preaching of the gospel He's chosen to save them that believe. Pleases God. Bible is preached honestly and fervently and caringly and faithfully. And I submit to you, church, if we get to the place where when the Bible preached, we don't say amen. Some only amen when their preacher is preaching. Carnal. Since when does the preacher supersede the preaching? The preaching is the Word of God. The preacher's just a messenger. Beware of exalting messengers, not the message. And fourthly, God's pleased when we happily give our tithes and offerings to Him. It pleases God when God's people happily, joyfully, hilariously give their tithes and offerings to Him. In the Gospel of Luke, the story there of Jesus as he stands by the treasury. And the people are coming by, putting their offerings in. And he watches those that have much. They put it in, and they've got much, much, much left over. And then a little old widow comes by, and she has two mites. And she puts it in. And Jesus took notice of her. And he was pleased because she didn't give just a tithe and an offering. She gave everything she had. When she gave, even though it was that small amount, she had nothing left over. She didn't consider her deficit. She considered the opportunity to give. And she did it faithfully. And the Lord singled her out and praised her because it pleased him that she would so faithfully and lovingly and happily and without begrudging it give everything she had to him. Some of us think we're doing good when we only give the big gifts. There's some people in our church that are on fixed incomes. They struggle to have money and month to end out pretty close to each other. And they faithfully give their tithe and their offerings and their missions. Many times, offerings and missions and so others, they give and do it sacrificing things they could have for themselves. You tell me God's not pleased at that. Now, don't get me wrong. God's pleased at the big one too, when our gifts are given the same way. But just because a tithe may be $1,000 doesn't mean that we're a better giver than the one whose tithe was $50. God is looking at us giving with an equality. In fact, that $50 tithe with a $50 offering may be very well looked upon as giving more than the one who gave a tithe of $1,000. God's looking at what we have left over, not just what we give. And this little woman giving two mites is not saying it doesn't matter how little you give. It does matter how we give. What mattered and what stood out there to God was so much was that she had nothing left over. She had nothing to stop on the way back home at McDonald's and get a Big Mac. She had nothing. She just had to trust God. And you know, God was pleased with it. I want to please God in that area of my life too. To think that I can work all week and I can earn an income for my labors, and then God has made it so I can give a tithe and an offering to Him and do it with a right spirit and a joyful heart, and God is pleased with it and will bless us. The Bible says in Luke 21, and he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting thither two mites, and he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God, but she out of her penury has cast in all the living that she had. P-E-N-U-A-U-R-Y means she lived in poverty. She didn't consider was she behind or she deficit. In spite of all of this, she just trusted God and gave all she had. It pleased God because she trusted Him and gave. While the others gave only what was required. Knowing that obedient, faithful giving pleases God. Why don't more of God's children practice it? Evidently, we don't care about pleasing Him. We think we can get more out of a dollar by keeping it than by giving it. One last thing. Getting people saved pleases God. Getting people saved pleases God. Same verse, 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Since getting people saved pleases God, one can understand why Satan fights it so hard. He fights against soul winning and witnessing. You can understand why this old flesh is so quick to backslide in the area of soul winning. Because it pleases God and flesh is against God. It pleases God to get people saved. It pleases God to give His Son to. It pleased God to give His Son a ransom for our sins. And it ought to please us to do something that pleases God so much. And that is to get people saved. Whether it's by preaching the gospel or supporting missions or going soul winning personally or doing it all, it pleases God to save sinners. This is why Christ came into the world and died on that old rugged cross to get sinners saved. That's one of the primary reasons He fills His children with the Holy Spirit to aid us in getting people saved. That's what Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I've got to ask you, are we pleasing God in this area of our Christian life? Are we still trying to get people saved? Or have we got other priorities now at Trinity? I want to tell you this. The number of soul winners in Trinity Baptist is not as great as it was a few months ago. Are you one of those that's missing when it comes to soul winning? It may be you're a new member or a new Christian. You've never been obedient to God in the air of witnessing. Maybe it's you just don't know how. Hey, folks, I got good news for you. We'll train you. We'll put you with a soul winner and you can observe as a silent partner and learn. But learn this, nothing pleases God any more than getting people saved. And I conclude with this. Are you pleasing God? Are you pleasing God with your life? One of the ways of our life that pleases God is soul winning, witnessing. Do you enjoy His peace? Do you enjoy peace with your fellow man? That's a promise. It would behoove each of us to learn the ways in Scripture that God says we can please Him and then spend our life doing it, pleasing Him. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with Him. Father, that's our message. Thank You for this verse. Thank You that in the book of Proverbs You'll have statements like that just stand alone that can revolutionize our life if we'll take it to heart and put it to practice. Oh, how I'd like to please You with my life. These many years I've lived to try to please You and honor You. There's been times when I failed miserably, but I've gotten back up and tried again. And started over again trying to please You with my life. I pray, O God, that You'd put it in our hearts as Your children here at Trinity to please You. to live in such a way and conduct our life and our language and our business in such a way that our ways please you. One thing I know, when our ways practice scriptural principle, God's going to be pleased. Now, Lord, let us take this home with us tonight. And let us stop and take inventory over the past few weeks and months and ask the question, are my ways pleasing you? Did I please you more a month ago than I'm pleasing you now? Have I grown cold and distant? Then God, help us to do whatever we need to do to get right and start anew, living in such a way that our ways please you. For we ask it in Jesus' name.